Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Zach's going to come on up here.
Hello, there we are. Good morning. My name is Zach Flaker. I am not the senior pastor of West Hill Baptist Church, but I am a senior in youth group this year, and I was approached by PD a couple weeks ago to preach today,
Not just a couple weeks ago.
It was more than a few weeks ago.
So, a while back, I asked Zach Barner and Zach Flaker if they would like to preach sometime, and they both said yes. We worked out what weeks that could possibly be, but yeah, I hadn't talked to him in a while. And then we talked about it. Going to be a little different format today for you. I did this with Luke a while back, just to be up here and support Zach as he's preaching through this. We did meet this last week and went over things and through the points and all that. And I just asked him, like, how much do you want to cover? And he's just kept asking for more. So it will be mostly him up here talking. It's interesting because before all this happened, I will say, two nights ago, I had a dream. And I've already made it past the worst part in my dream. So I got up here and just did an intro and basically closed out the service, forgetting that we had communion and that Zach was preaching. And then I got out to the foyer and I saw Zach and I'm like, oh my goodness. And everybody was just like, woohoo! No. Listen, you will probably still get out here early, okay? It's just the format of what it is. But I'm excited that we get to do this and be up here together and work through what God's Word has for us. So again, the topic is unity in the body of Christ. If you want to flip somewhere, it's going to be
Ephesians 4, 1 through 16.
So we are going to stand. It should be up on the screen. And I'll say, if you are willing and able, you can stand and we'll read together, and Zach's going to read it through it for us.
All right, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, which, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You may be seated. All right.
It's all you, man.
So, with this passage, we came up with four different questions for it. And our first question is going to be, what is our calling? And we see that in verse 1, and it says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So that makes us stop and think, what is our calling in life? And if we flip to Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we see, if I can find it here. You're right, it is a lot harder to find things when you're up here. Then There it is. I found it. So in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." So we see in here that our calling is to spread the gospel and be a servant for Jesus Christ. And that is how we walk worthy of our calling. But in order to walk worthy of that calling, we have to be a prisoner for the Lord. And so when Paul wrote this, he was literally a prisoner for the Lord. He was imprisoned in Rome at the time, writing to the Ephesians. And he was writing to them for the purpose of telling them to be in unity, because they were not very unified at the time. And so he's basically telling them here, hey, you guys need to stop fighting and be like together to work together to walk worthy of your calling. And so like a real life example of this would be like earlier this year, about a month ago, I was in the DR on a missions trip with my school. And so that is like one way you can walk worthy of your calling, by taking the gospel to other parts of the world. And so that leads us to our second question of how do we walk worthy of that calling?
Can I interject?
Yes.
And I just want to add, I love the point that he goes to in Matthew 28, but it doesn't end with just going. It also has baptize them and teach them and help them grow in Christ as well. And we're all called to do that. That commandment doesn't just end with the part of going and sharing the gospel, but it also comes to help disciple those people as well, right? And so it's pretty awesome to see that in there, that if to challenge us, if you're not doing that part in your walk with the Lord, then why? Or what's keeping you back? We're all called to disciple someone else. And so how are you doing that? Where are you doing that? And what does that look like in your life? Sorry.
No, you're good. And so that brings us to our second question, which is how do we walk worthy of that calling? And we can see in verses 2-6, it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And so we can see there with in verse 2, in humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and love, that those are fruits of the Spirit. So in Galatians 5, Paul lists out the fruits of the Spirit for us. So we can see how we can do that. And it also says, maintain the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that begs the question, what exactly is a bond of peace? And so a bond in this context is basically a deep connection, like a oneness almost of peace. So basically being is another term for unity, being in harmony together. And so in here in verses 4-6, it says Pastor David said earlier, the emphasis of the word one. We are all called to be a part of one body of Christ, because there is one Lord and one Savior of all. And we are called to be a part of that, because that is the one way that we can grow in the body of Christ. Anything else you want to say?
Nope.
Well, that leads us to the third question, which is your section. All right.
So what tools we're given is another question that we see in here. And this section, oftentimes, people go off on a tangent trying to figure out what is meant by ascended, descended, and all that. And I'll talk a little bit about that, but that's not the focus here today. So I'll read this section, and then we'll talk a little bit. Verse 7, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he descended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the shepherds, and teachers. So this section, again, caused a lot of questions that people have different views on. I'm not here to go through all that. It's the questions are, is Jesus leaving? Does it mean he left heaven to come to earth? Is that the descending part? And then obviously dying on the cross for our sins and all that. We all believe that and see that happening. Or is it that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and then descended into lower parts like Sheol to get believers before he died on the cross because they trust in the coming Messiah? There's all sorts of different thoughts and questions about that section. You can go read about it, discuss it, talk about it together. What I want to focus on is, again, what we're here to focus on, is that is the unity in the body of Christ. And the point here is that members of the church, believers in Christ, the body of Christ, has received gifts from God. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We have spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts come following Christ's ascension into heaven. What was the reason? Well, Zach will get into this a little more, but to equip the saints. The gifts mentioned here are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are all positions that were given to help build up the church, especially at the beginning when they didn't have this organization and possibly this unity. And so again, the idea is Christ is the one who is worthy. Christ is the one who is able to provide this unity within the body of Christ. And we have gifts. When we accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells in us, and we are given gifts to use to edify and to build up the church. And in this, again, the question is, what tools do we have? And so I want to ask, what tools are you using to edify, to build up this church here first and foremost, and then the capital C church out there, the rest of us believers coming together? But again, the focus on the one in here, and I kind of challenged you with it earlier on the first point when I talked about discipleship and coming together, and part of our calling is to work with others, to teach others, to train them. Part of that is using your gifts. You could have gifts of hospitality, gifts of teaching, gifts of giving, gifts of, I'm not going to remember them all. It doesn't matter. But what gifts or gift has God given you to use for this body of Christ? And if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I don't know, then come and talk to us. Talk to someone who may know more about that, to where we can point out scripture. We have a fun little quiz that you can take. Now, the quiz is not the magic answer for what your gift might be, but it does help direct you into where God might use you. Come and talk to us pastors or your deacons, your leaders here at the church, and we can help you get plugged in. I like to do things like this because, I don't know, maybe one day this could be his gift, or it is one of his callings. I don't know. Or Zach Varner's, or Luke's, or whoever. When it comes to teaching for our Logos classes, I try to plug in men every now and then who will come in and preach or teach 1 week just to see maybe that is something that God has called them to do. You don't know until you ask or you try, and you are willing to be used by God. And so what tools has God given you, and are you willing for him to use it to help, again, edify and fulfill Christ's purpose in the body? And if we go further, we got time, so I'm just going to talk about it. If we go further into it, there's other scripture talking about the importance of gifts. Whose gift's more important than the other? Well, none of them, right? God uses them all equally. You can't function without the toe versus the finger versus the hand, whatever it is. You need all of the parts of the body of Christ to be working together, to be unified together. And so that's the tools that have been provided for us, is these gifts, these things that God has allowed us to use for his glory, for him to be able to build each other up. Again, it's not for us to to be up here and be like, oh, look how cool we are, we're preaching. No, it's not that. It's how can we work together to bring glory to God? I think that's fine.
Yeah. And so then our last question is, what does a unified church look like? What are the tools meant for, basically? And so in verse 12 through 16, I'll read, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, held from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so these tools that Pastor David talked about, they are meant to equip us for, in order to build up the body so that we may be one, because if we are not one, the body isn't going to grow. And the goal here is to achieve that unity. That is the goal here, to be mature in Christ. And it says that the children are tossed to and fro by the wind of different religions and different worldviews. And the goal is to be rooted in Christ. So when the doctrines of the world come and try to sway us in their direction, we will be rooted and we won't be taken astray by that. Like it says, our theme verse for Thrive for Youth Group is Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So basically what it's saying there is we need to be rooted, and so we don't get, what's the word I'm looking for? So we don't get distracted and tossed astray. And so if we don't stand for the gospel, we'll basically fall for anything in the world. And like I said earlier, the only way we can grow is if we work together through it. And in doing this, it's not just yourself that you're focused on. You have to have the entire church and all the people around you in your view while you're doing this, and not just being focused on yourself.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
I think that's where I can plug in Greenhouse Kids, Logos classes, those things that are very purposeful in teaching God's word specifically for that. But then also emphasizing that it's not just the church that's in charge of doing that for your kids. It's you at home as a family, as parents as well. So don't just rely on the church. The church is here to help. The believers are here to help and be together as family. But it starts at home first and foremost. So.
And like milk, it does the body good.
It does.
Do you want to explain that?
I will explain that because it's my generation. So as we're reading through this, that's what pops in my head. And I tried to explain it to him as an analogy. And he's like,
what? I wasn't getting it.
So then I looked up on YouTube and it brought up the whole got milk question mark. I'm like, no, that's not it. It's further back. So then I went further back and it's milk does the body good. And so that's what popped up in my head is here, like, what does the body good here? And so I'm starting to think in my head, prayer does the body good.
Spiritual milk.
Yep, spiritual milk does the body good. And Paul talks about that, spiritual food, right? And so does the body good. Worshiping together does the body good. Reading God's word together does the body good. Studying God's word together does the body good. There's so many things that help build the joints that it talks about in here that does the body good. So yes, that was the thing that immediately popped up in my head. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. Thank you. See?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I knew it would go along.
Good job.
Thanks.
Just the final thing I've written down here is that being unified in Christ is all through love. Like, the love that Christ had for us when he came and died on the cross. That's like really what it's about. And that's really what's going to help us grow, is having a love in the way that Christ loved us. That's all I have. Do you have any closing statements?
No, I just appreciate your guys' time and understanding. And I know you may be happy that we're ending early. That's fine. But I hope that still you don't have to have whatever long sermon to get a point through. And that's why I love having these guys up here. They put work into it. They put time into it. They're studying God's word. And then they present it. And you get what God has laid on their heart. Amen?
Amen.
And that has God has laid this on his heart to present to you. And so I just hope and pray that you will take what you have heard and learned today and actually apply it for this week and the rest of your lives, and you'll be able to grow from it and be encouraged that we are the body of Christ together. Let's be unified. All too often, there are little divisions throughout the church that don't need to happen. So let's be unified. Let's work together. Let's communicate and talk together. Let's grow together. Amen? Go for it.
I can pray for us. Bow your heads and pray with me. Dear God, thank you for today. Just thank you for the opportunity that you've given me and PD to preach today. And I pray that you just let all these wonderful people here to just take what we've given to them to heart and just take the words that you've spoken through us and apply them to our lives, and that they wouldn't just walk away from this and not change because of it, God. I pray you would just keep working through all of us, and that you would just keep everyone safe as they go home today. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good job, Zach.